Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and on today's show, America's Got Talent finalist Mandy Harvey will join me to discuss her unique journey on the show as a deaf singer-songwriter and the ways in which her Christian faith evolved after she lost her hearing at age 19. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is singer-songwriter Mandy Harvey. If you watched season 12 of America's Got Talent, you were no doubt as impressed as Simon Cowell was by Mandy's beautiful and heartfelt performances that led her to win the votes of millions of Americans and ultimately a fourth-place finish on the show. What makes Mandy's journey even more impressive is the fact that she is deaf, having lost her hearing at age 19. So how did she manage to build a singing career, and what effect did her hearing loss have on her Christian faith? Mandy talks about all those things and more in her book, Sensing the Rhythm, Finding My Voice in a World Without Sound. Joining me now in the studio, along with her sign language interpreter, Desiree, I am pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Mandy Harvey. Mandy, thanks so much for coming to the studio today.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for letting me in the building.
Absolutely. Now, millions of people got to see you and hear you on America's Got Talent, but this book, Sensing the Rhythm, really fleshes out your story. So take me back a little bit to how did music play a role in your early life, and what made you decide to pursue it as a career as a music teacher?
For me, music was always a way for me to express myself. I was a very shy, uncomfortable kid, and there's something about music that can take you to any world you want to go. And for me, it was not only a way to escape, but it was how I could say how I truly felt without people really staring at me. And I just became addicted to it. There's just a love. Yeah. And the more I got involved with it, the more I couldn't stop and just wanted to do more. And I really became passionate about vocal music education because I never wanted to be a performer. The idea of people staring at me all the time is absolutely petrifying. Why would people do that to themselves? but education was always where my heart was, because mm-hmm. I could still be involved and I could help create those stories and create that world without being the center of attention. And that really blossomed hard in high school due to going to Sydney, Australia, and seeing that choral director getting all of these 500 voices together mm-hmm. in perfect harmony. And yeah. my choir teacher growing up, you know, Adam Cave, he's brilliant. And his passion for teaching was just infectious.
Yeah. Well, when you are that passionate about something like music, and then you start to lose your hearing when you're in college, how did that impact you emotionally and also spiritually, because you come from a family where your father works in the church, works in a local church?
Yeah, I made the mistake of attaching my entire identity with, you know, singing and mm-hmm. music in general. And so when you grow up with hearing issues, as I've grown up with my whole life, it's always been my biggest fear, and that happened.
Yeah.
And so I lost myself in it mm-hmm. completely. I didn't know who I was anymore. And the fear of how do you breathe again? How do you wake up in the morning? How do you not be angry yeah. at everything that's happening in your world? It really swirled me into a depression I wasn't really, no one's ready for, but mm-hmm. I really did not know I was ever going to fully get out of.
Yeah.
And I did, you know, question Not my faith, but just my trust of why do bad things happen to good people? Why do yeah. good things happen to horrible people? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a lot of conversations about that. And we came to a couple of conclusions that, you know, the world is broken.
Yeah.
You have genetics and free will and people's bad decisions that come into play. And, mm-hmm. you know, God's not a bully with a stick just beating you down. He's holding your hand just hoping that you're going to take another step forward. And once I stopped blaming my genetics on, you know, something else, I kind of let that anger go.
That's beautiful. Beautifully said. I'm talking to Mandy Harvey. You'll know her from America's Got Talent. She also now has a book out called Sensing the Rhythm, Finding My Voice in a World Without Sound. You know, along those lines of the spiritual, I love what you write in the book about your father says he has something he calls the theology of the healthy. What is the theology of the healthy, and why does it fall short in terms of theology?
Well, it's funny how much advice you get from people who aren't actually in pain, and they always have quick fixes and stay positive, stay true to yourself, and keep your eyes focused on what's really important. And to be frankly honest, when your world has just shattered in front of you to pieces, there's nothing that you're going to be able to say that's just going to pull me out of my funk in 2 seconds.
Right.
This is a process, and I needed to learn not just how to get back into music. That wasn't even close to the idea. It was learning how to wake up and breathe and be okay with the fact that my life has changed. So, I mean, it's all well and good to have a lot of people who are encouraging you and telling you how to be healthy and how to stay strong. But when they don't understand what's going on, and they never could, it comes off as almost abuse.
Well, along those lines, you do write in the book about how your Christian Bible study peers reacted to your deafness, saying it was, you know, you just didn't have enough faith. I'm curious. I'm sure people want to say the right thing in that kind of situation, but that was obviously not it. So what would you recommend people, how would you recommend people respond when they do come into contact with someone who is struggling, who is in pain?
You know, it wasn't just me. That's the thing that really opened my eyes, because it's very difficult when you're just looking at your own life and the things that are happening. You're just like, you can't always see the dysfunction. You're just swallowed in it already. But there was another gentleman who, he lost his wife in childbirth, and his 2-year-old daughter was dying of cancer. And they were doing the same thing to him as they were doing to me, where it was, if you just had enough faith, your faith would move mountains. But what you're telling me is that this is my fault and my responsibility, and I have the will to manipulate God in some manner to make my life perfect. And that's just wrong. It's just absolutely wrong. And instead of praying for me to have strength or wisdom to make good decisions or patience to deal with the day to day, they kept praying for a miracle that, you know, wasn't happening, and then blaming me when it didn't. And it was a very vicious cycle that really hurt on multiple levels, because you know how, you know, your faith is in church and places that you grow up and things that you're involved in for your entire life. These are the people who are supposed to be walking with you every step of the way. And it wasn't the steps that they wanted to take. And it wasn't the view they wanted to see. And it became my fault. And I really just wish that we could all understand that the world is broken, that life is messy, and bad things happen, and we're not supposed to have all of the answers or try to figure it out or sugarcoat every moment, but we're supposed to hold each other's hand and say, we're going to get through this together. What can I do for you? Why can't we ask those questions instead of just telling me how to fix my life? Ask me how you can help.
That's beautifully said. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Mandy Harvey. She was on America's Got Talent. She finished in fourth place. She is a singer who is profoundly deaf, and now she is telling her story in the phenomenal memoir, Sensing the Rhythm, Finding My Voice in a World Without Sound. I also believe that we see God in through working through other people in our lives. And from reading your book, I got a sense that one of the primary godly influences in your life is your dad, who put you on this road to being a singer again yourself. Tell me a little bit about how he was that presence of God in your life, the presence you're talking about, the one who walks beside you and guides you and encourages you.
Yeah, I've been really blessed to have a lot of people in my life who refused to give up on me, even when I very much gave up on myself. Mm-hmm. And both of my parents were there always. And even when I was difficult to deal with and I was just angry and rude, you mm-hmm. know, they still loved me. And yeah. they were just trying to help me create opportunities, you know. Mm-hmm. When I first went home, I started taking ASL classes and started getting involved with the deaf community and finding an identity again and finding that I wasn't just stupid. You know, when you can't communicate, you don't know what's going on, it can swallow you and mm-hmm. everybody is just talking at you all the time, but you don't know what's happening. And so I needed to be able to communicate to feel like a person. Mm-hmm. And so I was on that path, and making those steps helped me to say yes to other ones. And so they weren't necessarily thinking it was going to bring me all the way back to having music again. They mm-hmm. just wanted to crack a door to maybe open a new opportunity if I was willing to try, yeah. even if that meant failing. Mm-hmm. And so what my dad asked for me to do was just pick up the guitar and play a song with him. It had nothing to do with singing. It was just something that we had done for my entire childhood. Mm-hmm. You know, we just sat there. I saw the chords that he was playing, felt the rhythm he was playing, and we just played three basic chords over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And that led to trying a little bit of a difficult song and playing that over and over again. And then, you know, he's just a dad. Yeah. He was just pushing in a loving way. Mm-hmm. You know, he always says you have to love your children to hope.
Wow.
And he was just trying to love me until I could find some hope.
Yeah. Yeah. And you obviously did find that hope. For people listening who maybe were not watching America's Got Talent, even though they should have been, to see your phenomenal performances.
Oh.
Just talk a little bit about how you, as someone who is profoundly deaf, is able to sing. I know there's some technology involved. You have a gift for finding middle C, as you write in the book. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I have near perfect pitch. I say near because every once in a while I'm a little off. But I'm pretty good with it. But that's been something that I've had my whole life. But I've worked my butt off. And I work very hard every single day. Mm-hmm. I use visual tuners to mm-hmm. see the notes that I'm singing and then go through scales and intervals ad nauseum. You know, an obscene amount of hours every day because I don't want to lose it. Mm-hmm. And when I learn a new song, I get the sheet music and I go through with that tuner every single note, and anytime I make a mistake, I start over from the very beginning.
Okay.
And it'll take me 8 hours of not getting up from the stool to learn one basic song.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a labor of love. And yeah. then in addition to that, you can feel and mark out on your throat where those noises go. So like if you have a vowel sound, like an ooh, you can feel it traveling up your throat. You can feel when certain notes buzz and resonate in your nasal cavity or hum in your chest.
Mm-hmm.
That specific note always is there. And so if you know how to find one note,
mm-hmm.
then you just use your music theory to navigate and modulate to any starting note that you want.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest and the best thing that ever happened to me in some ways was losing my hearing because I couldn't doubt myself anymore. And I've always been slightly hard of hearing, so the notes that I was hearing combated what I thought that they should be.
Okay.
And so now that I can't hear a half-truth of a sound,
mm-hmm.
I just have to trust myself and sing it. And at this point, you know, I've lived through my biggest fear. What's the worst that can happen? I sing the wrong note. Who cares? So
yes.
It's unabashed, you know, no fear, just bam.
Right.
All right, I'm going to sing this note. Go for it. Did it work? Yay! Did it not? Well, next time.
Life goes on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Mandy Harvey about her music. You can go to her website, which is mandyharveymusic.com. You can find albums there like All of Me, After You've Gone, and Smile. And I think you have a Christmas album, too?
Yeah, a Christmas EP. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Great. And we're also here talking about Mandy's book, Sensing the Rhythm, Finding My Voice in a World Without Sound. And one of the things I liked about the book is it's not just you sharing your story, but you give other people advice on how they can live their lives. Like you talked before about no more fear of failure for you. If someone listening has a fear of failure in their lives, they have possibilities in front of them, but they're too afraid to try for them, what message would you give to them?
There's so many things that I would say. It's difficult to just wrap it in a tiny little bow. Everybody is different, but there's nothing that can be accomplished if you don't take one step forward.
Right.
If you tell yourself, I can't do it, you're saying no 100%. The possibility is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you say, you know what, if I fail, at least I moved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I tried, and I got a little taste of something else. You're creating an opportunity to grow mm-hmm. as a person. And there's so many things that I would say. I want to like shake people sometimes. Like, can't you just wake up? You're not believing in you're not believing in yourself. And fear, that's one of my biggest things that's held me back from everything.
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst that can happen? Honestly,
mm-hmm.
what's the worst that can happen? You're afraid to try for a new job. What's the worst that can happen? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't stop thinking about the journey that I've been on and the influences that I've been absorbing from No Barriers, one of the nonprofit organizations that I'm an ambassador for. Their slogan is, what's within you is stronger
mm-hmm.
than what's in your way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah.
You're worth it.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about No Barriers USA, since you are an ambassador for them. Well, what's their mission and what are they accomplishing?
They work with people with and without disabilities to overcome barriers. It was mm-hmm. co-founded by Eric Weinmeier. He's a gentleman who climbed Mount Everest and the top 7 summits on all of the continents. And
wow.
He's kayaked the Grand Canyon and he's blind. And he changes the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because he hasn't allowed fear to hold him back. He's very calculated, you know, he doesn't do things sillily,
yes.
you know, it's like, but there's just so much that they do and so many people that they touch and
mm-hmm.
wounded veterans and helping people find technology and prosthetics and climb mountains and
yeah.
do things that they've given up on many years ago. And for me, it was a very simple conversation I had with my friend. You know, I sat with Eric and we were just joking around and he asked me, why are you not writing your own music?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's silly. He's like, seriously, why aren't you writing your own music? And I said, because I'm afraid.
Mm.
And he's like, what's the worst that can happen? I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
They're not going to like it. Okay. I've survived the thing that I knew for sure was going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it.
Yeah.
And I didn't die. I'm
mm-hmm.
here, and I'm still chasing music. I'm still a part of it, and it's still part of my life.
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen? At least I'm telling my stories, even if no one wants to hear them. They're mine. And I'm expressing myself, and
mm-hmm.
it's therapeutic, and it's
mm-hmm.
beautiful. And so the reason why I even started writing music to begin with was just an honest conversation between friends.
Yeah. I'm talking to Mandy Harvey. She finished 4th place on America's Got Talent. She is a very talented singer-songwriter. We're talking about overcoming barriers, overcoming fears. I'm curious, is the lack of fear in your life now what got you to try out for America's Got Talent?
Yeah. Well, I still have fear. You know, I'm paralyzed by it. You know, you should see me try to conquer my fear of the ocean. Sharks, man, they're real. But no, it was a lot of conversations, and Eric was one of those people who I talked to
mm-hmm.
when the opportunity presented itself to do something like that. I am not the kind of person who needs attention. I love being invisible, but at the same time, singing at this point, is very much for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to hear it as it comes out. I don't get to be involved in that way. I'm singing for you, and I'm trying to encourage you, and I'm trying to make you smile. And if that means I have to put myself in an uncomfortable situation to encourage a lot of people, so be it.
Yeah.
So my goal was not to do well or to get a golden buzzer. To be frankly honest, I didn't even know what that meant. At first, I really didn't know. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh.
There's confetti falling.
What's going on, guys? Did I win? Like, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't talk about making it to the live shows. I didn't talk about making it to the semis. I didn't talk about making it to the finals. And we never talked about winning.
Mm-hmm.
It was always about, let's go encourage a lot of people.
Yeah.
Even if it only changes one person,
mm-hmm.
then this whole experience will be so worth it. And along the way, so many people have reached out and they're telling me their stories and their pain and they're not giving up because of something that I said. And then them not giving up is going to encourage other people to not give up. And
mm-hmm.
it's going to trickle effect if we allow stuff like that to be.
Yeah.
It could change the whole way people deal with things.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you want to be a part of it?
Yeah. How has your perception of God changed over the last 10 years?
I mean, I don't see him as a bully with a stick
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I aim to see him as a father, as somebody who cries with you when you fail or struggle,
mm-hmm.
and someone who is encouraging you when you get back up and wants you to do wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very aware that just because bad things happen doesn't mean that it's because God looked the other way.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a lot of growing that's happening in my life even still.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beautiful thing about having a relationship, is that it's an everyday learning experience. And I feel like I have a lot more faith and a lot more trust than I ever did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I love what you say in the book, that your life, you compare your life in a way to the quilts your grandma makes with little patches, different types of patches all over.
Yeah.
What would the quilt now look like of your life after you've gone through this great experience of America's Got Talent and you've written your memoir? What do you think your quilt would look like now?
Well, I think my quilt looks like a lot of different things. You know, I've got all of my past memories. There's a part of it that's been singed, you know, from me personally lighting it on fire. there's pieces and parts that are torn and tattered, but they've been patched together,
mm-hmm.
and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of this quilt that's not done yet.
Sure.
And so I'm not going to know what it really looks like until it's all over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things that we focus on here on this show is the idea that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. So in your life now, having gone what you've gone through, when you, you know, hit those moments of metaphorical darkness, how are you able to light that candle and move forward to toward a brighter future?
Honestly, I didn't for a while.
Okay.
I really needed time to mourn. I feel like for me, I fell down a giant well and just sat on the bottom. And I was very content to stay there for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were a lot of things that happened in my life that kind of smacked me in the face. And one of them was I met this lady when I was in eighth grade, and she was a Russian ballerina. She came here to the United States to dance, and she shattered her legs or her ankles or something, and she couldn't dance anymore. And I met her as I was handing out socks to a bunch of homeless people. And so she had given up on her life completely, and she was out of her gourd, strung out on drugs, and it
mm-hmm.
was a very weird situation. But I told myself I never wanted to become her.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted to give up that far.
Yeah.
And then I found myself very much becoming her. And I said this when I was on AGT. I made a mistake, a simple mistake of falling down the stairs. I tripped.
Mm-hmm.
And no one was home to help me up. And I laid there on the floor and thought to myself, I'm going to lay here forever. I'm going to give up forever. Mm-hmm. Unless I don't. Yeah. And so I had to, it wasn't just, you know, gumption. It was a lot of people who were pushing me constantly and encouraging me constantly. Mm-hmm. But all of that meant nothing if I didn't make the choice myself.
Yeah.
And so I made the choice to stand up. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see light or hope or happiness, but I was determined that I was going to make it. I was going to make light and hope and happiness until mm-hmm. it was real. Yeah. And so it was taking a lot of very small steps, one after another.
Right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I've been talking to Mandy Harvey. You'll know her from America's Got Talent. She's got an incredible story. She talks about how she, you know, she lost her way a little bit after she went profoundly deaf in college, but step by step, she managed to move forward toward a brighter place. And now she's got this great memoir called Sensing the Rhythm, Finding My Voice in a World Without Sound. If you saw her on AGT, you should really read this book, because this really fleshes out her story. It's a phenomenal story. It's full of advice, not just of her own story, but she offers wisdom that we can all apply to our lives. So please pick up Sensing the Rhythm by Mandy Harvey. Her website is mandyharveymusic.com. And Mandy, thanks so much for coming to the studio today and sharing your incredible story.
Oh my gosh, it was such a thrill. Thank you so much for letting me be here. You're wonderful.
Thank you. Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
The most difficult trials in life demand that we dig deep within ourselves to find the capacity for courage that God has bestowed upon the human soul. But courage begins with an act of the will to persevere through pain, suffering, and even failure. To help you along that path, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Finding the Courage Within. It offers insights on building character, cultivating the ability to act courageously, and making sacrifices for the greater good. To request your free copy of Finding the Courage Within, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.